Let's just seek God's face, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you'll bless our coming together this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll aid us, you'll help us in our worship of thee. We ask, O God, that you'll come upon us and amongst us, and may we know great help from heaven this morning. Help us, we pray, in the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of our hymn that's based in the words of Psalm 91, The Secret Place. And we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn of praise, please. Let's come. come ourselves into that secret place just now. And let's seek God's face this morning. Seek Him for His help, for His presence. Let's pray that the Lord will come meet with us as we would meet in His house this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee today for that secret place. Lord, that holy place. And yet, O God, we thank Thee this morning that while, Lord, it is a place of holiness, a place of greatness, yet, O God, we thank Thee today that it is a place into which we can enter. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that we can come into that secret place, that place where God the Most High dwells. We thank the Lord today for the means of approach, and Lord, for the door that we can come into. For Lord, we realize today that we have no other means of access to Thee but through our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, today that it's all in the merits of Christ, all in His finished work, Lord, that we can come into that secret place. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come this morning, we pray, Lord, that You'll be pleased to still our hearts. We ask, O God, that You'll come and speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that this morning You'll remove from our hearts and our minds, Lord, those things that have, Lord, taken our attention this past week. And Lord, for this time, we ask, O God, that we'll be shut into that secret place with God. May we be very conscious today that God is here. Lord, may we not even be aware of those around us. But, O God, we pray that we might know that Thou art here. Come, O God, we pray. Meet with us. Speak to us today. Aid us, help us, we ask of Thee. We thank the Lord for each one who has been enabled to gather in the house of God this morning. We pray, Lord, for Thy presence. We, Lord, pray that we might hear Thy voice. Bless us in the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that this will be a day when we'll hear God speaking to us. Pray, Lord, You'll remember Billy as he come and sing to us. Lord, we pray that You'll bless him, help him, encourage him, Lord, in the ministry of song this morning. May he know great help. And Lord, we pray that those messages, Lord, will be a challenge and an encouragement to our hearts. We pray, Lord, for the word that has already gone forth to the little ones in the Sunday school, to the young people in the Bible class. We thank Thee, Lord, for teaching the children, the young people, the things of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You be pleased to put Your hand upon our children and our young people. We thank Thee, Lord, for them. And Lord, we pray that You'll lead them on with Thyself. We thank, Lord, today of those who have gone away from God. Lord, those today who have no interest in the things of God, those who brought up in the things of God, yet today they're so far and distant from Thee. Lord, speak to their hearts this morning, we pray. Bring, Lord, the prodigal sons and daughters back to Thee. We pray, Lord, that You'll bring the wanderers back to the Father's house. Oh, God, we pray You'll do something new amongst us this morning. Bless throughout this day. Bless in Hollywood this afternoon. Remember our family service tonight. Bless our sister Margaret, Lord, as she'd come. Testify. We thank the Lord for her, for her years of service. We ask, oh, God, that You'll, Lord, help us all to be missionaries. Lord, You might never call us to far-off places, but Lord, You've called us all to full-time service for Thee. And so, Lord, through our sister tonight, Lord, that our hearts might be challenged. Pray, Lord, You'll bless the going forth of the Word of God across our land and across our nation. Remember, Lord, the missionary meetings, Lord, that commenced last night and will continue this week. We pray, Lord, You'll just, Lord, raise up and call many, Lord, into full-time service for Thee. Lord, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers sadly are few. Lord, raise up others to go and tell of Jesus Christ, the mighty deceive. Bless across our land and across our nation. Oh, Heavenly Father, we especially would remember, Lord, this morning, the mission planned for the, not this week, but the week following. Lord, we pray that You be pleased to work there in Dundonald. Bless the invitations as they're given out this week. We ask, O God, that You'll prepare hearts. Lord, that even before those meetings start, Lord, that we'll hear of the the movings of God. Lord, that it be noised abroad that God's at work in Dundonald, that He's saving souls, taking men and women out of the darkness of their sin, bring them to Christ. Lord, turn and change and transform lives, we pray. Give us, Lord, all that hunger, that appetite, that desire, Lord, for the things of God during this time of gospel mission. Help us to do what we can. Lord, we pray You'll help us to invite others in, to bring others in. Lord, we pray that this will be a blessed time. Lord, be with us, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who need Thee in a special way. Pray, Lord, for those who are unwell in their own homes at this time. Lord, minister to them. Touch them in their bodies, we pray. Remember our sister Jennifer this morning, draw near to her. We ask, O God, that she'll know Thy grace and know Thy help. Pray, Lord, for others in their own homes, nursing care this morning. Pray, Lord, for those whose hearts are heavy this morning. We pray, Lord, You'll draw very near, Lord, to sad and broken hearts. Heavenly Father, we remember, Lord, all those who mourn. We pray for our sister Janie this morning as she again has passed through the valley of mourning. Lord, we pray for her and Ken and all the family. Lord, draw very near to them. Lord, we pray that they'll know the Lord being their strength and their refuge at this time. And others as well. We just commit each one to Thee. So, Lord, be with us, we ask of Thee. Continue with us now. Lord, give us a blessed time in the house of the Lord. And may Thy name be glorified and lifted on high. In the name of Christ, we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our brother Billy to come and sing for us at the stage. Lord bless you, Billy. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Still You chose to die, knowing I would disappoint You, still You gave me Your life. You knew the times that I'd deny You, the times that I would fail, still You chose the path to Calvary, You chose the cross, You chose the nails. Amazed at all You've done to save me. In all Your mercy with no end, astounded by Your love, Lord, I just can't say enough. To You I will forever lift my praise, and here I stand amazed. Oh, there's an ocean of Your saving love that I don't deserve, and no limits to Your grace so free, it's nothing I have earned. And still You're reaching out Your nail-scarred hands, rescuing mankind. All creation sings the glory of Your sovereign sacrifice. Amazed at all You've done to save me. In all Your mercy with no end, astounded by Your love, Lord, I just can't say enough. To You stand amazed. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call of heaven's portals. Come home, child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe.
Thank you so much for those messages and song. Good to know that we are sheltered in the arms of God, and we are amazed by God's grace. And we ever cease to not be amazed by the grace of God, then we need to search our hearts. But I thank you so much. Pray the Lord bless you, and we'll hear from you in just a wee moment's time as well. Perhaps I could ask you please to turn with me at this stage to the Word of God, and you'll find our scripture reading again in the book of 1 Kings. Same passage of scripture that we read from last Lord's Day morning. It wasn't my intention to come back here again today, but we are, as we continue in our series looking at the life of Elisha. Let's read together from 1 Kings chapter 19, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll read from the verse 13 down to the end of the chapter. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is the first mention of Elisha. And let's read again these words. 1 Kings chapter 19 and the verse 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle
and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me at this stage welcome you all along this morning to our morning service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. We pray God will bless us and meet with us as we gather ourselves together for this time of public worship. To you all, a sincere word of welcome in the Saviour's name. Also to those who are watching online as well. Now, this is the second Lord's Day of the month. That means that it is Missionary Council Retiring Offering Sunday. So the box is there as you leave for your retiring offering for the work of the Missionary Council. Our sister Joy Gillespie with us a few weeks back now, and that offering for her now has reached a total of £521.50. And again, thank you for your giving to our sister's work. Now, as a congregation, we want to this morning to express our sincerest sympathies to our sister Janie on the death of her aunt, and to Ken and to all the family. We assure you, Janie, of our prayers for you. Again, a difficult time. Pray the Lord will draw very near and comfort you and all your family at this time of loss. Can I remind you of the meetings throughout today in the will of the Lord? We have our Sunday school in Hollywood, 2:30. And then we have our family service tonight at 6:30. And we have the season of prayer before that at 6 p.m. And we'd love to see you back again tonight for this family service. Our sister, Miss Margaret Russell, who has served the Lord for over 38 years in Kenya, will be along this evening to tell of her life's work and to testify of God's grace in her life. And so we'd love to see you back again tonight as we listen to our sisters speak to us. Bring others with you if you can, and there'll be supper for everyone after the meeting tonight. So please do plan to be with us this evening for our family service at 6:30. Now, we enter into a very busy few weeks ahead of us with our gospel mission coming up in just over a week's time. But this week there is a time of outreach, and we are looking to you for your help. And I know, as always, you'll rise to the occasion. So there are a number of outreaches that if you can help us with, that would be greatly appreciated as we distribute the invitations. There are supplies of them here for everyone today, and what we'd encourage you to do as well is taking them on outreach, take them with you today, and get a bundle of them, have them on your person throughout this week, and use them as an opportunity to invite people in to the gospel mission. So they're available as you leave this morning. Please take as many with you as you possibly can. But the times of outreach are planned for tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. So that's tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Now, tomorrow morning, we'll meet over in Tullycarnet, start there, and hopefully be able to make our way as far down the old Dundonald Road as we can. But we'll meet at Tullycarnet just up there at Melford, past the old school, where the big green there is. We'll meet there tomorrow morning at Tully Carnet at 10 a.m. Then on Tuesday morning, we will meet in the car park at Lidl, or whatever way you pronounce the name of that store. But you know where I am, there in Dundonald. We'll meet in the car park there, and we'll take it from there and see where we can get covered. So that's tomorrow morning in Tully Carnet, and Tuesday morning at the car park there in Lidl in Dundonald. Now, we're going to add in an extra time of outreach. So Wednesday night and Thursday night this week, we may not need them all, but we'll see how we get on. Wednesday night at 6:45, again we'll meet in the car park in Lidl, and also on Thursday night at 6:45 as well in the car park there. So, apart from tomorrow morning, we're meeting over in Lidl at those other times. So Monday, 10, Tuesday, 10 a.m., Wednesday, 6:45, Thursday, 6:45. If you can help us for any of those, or even all of those, that would be great. There are 10,000 leaflets, and there are many doors to be got round, and we're hoping to get certainly Ballybean done as much as possible, if not all of it. It's the second largest housing estate in the country, and it's a big place, and no doubt we'll get lost in it. Remember, we got lost in it the last time, and we'll be up places and we'll be down places that maybe other places people were up and down. But anyway, as long as everybody gets one invitation, that's good. If they get two, well, that's even better. So if you can help us, we appeal to you for your help this week as much as you can. But perhaps those times don't suit you. Well, that's fine. But if you would like to help some other time, you can do it in your own time. That's fine. Just let us know where you're planning to do so that we don't double up. So remember that, please. The outreach, Monday morning, 10 a.m. in Tully Carnet. Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. in Lidl car park meeting. And then Wednesday evening at 6:45 and Thursday evening at 6:45 as well. Now, if we get all done before that, we'll be in touch and let you know. Do remember Tuesday night, our Bible study prayer meeting here in the church, and we will continue on with our Bible study course that we commenced last Tuesday night. Such a tremendous encouragement to see nearly 50 people here on Tuesday night past for the first of the change of night and for the first night of our Bible study course. Let's keep that up. And yet there is room for you as well. So come join with us this Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, the services, usual times. We have a few seasons of prayer, additional seasons of prayer for the gospel mission next Sunday. Early morning season of prayer next Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. 10:15 Sunday school and Bible class. 11:30 is our morning worship service, the normal time of prayer before that. Our Sunday school in Hollywood at 2:30. Then we have an extended time of prayer before the gospel meeting next Sunday night at 5:30. So 5:30 next Sunday evening before the gospel service at 6:30. And then we'll have another final season of prayer after the gospel service next Sunday evening. So a special day of prayer set aside for the gospel mission. So I trust you'll be able to join with us and help us and plead with us for the Lord's blessing upon this gospel mission. Just a few other announcements to bring before you. Vision magazine is available today, and they'll be given out to you on the way out. Also, there are copies, it's here somewhere, of our brother Ronnie McCracken, the work that he did in distributing all the shoe boxes over the Christmas period. There's a leaflet about it. There's also a DVD about that. So if you didn't get that on Tuesday night, please make sure you take one with you today and be updated with that. Just one request, well, many requests in relation to the gospel mission, but one other request I'm making, and that is if there are a couple of men or ladies who would like to help to put up posters, that would be much appreciated. All you need is a drill, a few cable ties, and a ladder. I've got the posters, and that's my work done. Me going up ladders is never a good idea. That's my excuse anyway. But if you can help us put up posters around the Orange Hall and around Dundonald, that would be great. If you could say to me, just a couple of men is all we need to do that sometime this week, if possible. do continue to remember our sister Jennifer, who remains in the hospice, and do pray that the Lord, even this week perhaps, will see to it that she'll be able to get home again. Then we have the Mission Vision Conference that's been held this week over in our Lisburn church each night at 8 o'clock. And if you're free, you're probably not. I'm going to get in trouble on the mission board. But if you're free any of those other nights, then you'll be welcome to that mission conference. Got off to a good start last night, and we look forward to the Lord's blessing upon the week of meetings this week over in our Lisburn church. Then do remember the seniors' outing, Wednesday the 25th of May. Put your name on the sheet. And if you haven't as yet returned your menu and your money, please do that by next Sunday, if possible, please. The offering boxes are there as well as you leave. Just finally, I want to read out a card that Hazel and Colin have given to me. It says, to the Reverend Wilson, to all our Sandown friends, it's hard to express our sincere thanks to you all, especially over the past few weeks during Dad's times in hospital and since his passing. We are so grateful to everyone who sent cards, messages, and phone with words of comfort, and especially the prayerful support of you all. We have special memories of Dad, and we trust that these will bring us comfort in the days ahead. We would kindly ask that you still continue to remember us and the wider family in your prayers, Hazel and Colin. And also the words of Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And may the Lord continue to be with all those who grieve and mourn at this time. We'd ask Billy to come and sing for us again now. And the Lord bless you, Billy. Thank you.
Grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed. Grace, receive. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within.
Well, I thank you again for singing for us, blessed by your ministry, and thank you for your help in the service this morning. Thank God again for the grace of God. We can never sing too much or say too much about God's grace, marvellous grace. Thank you, Billy. Lord bless you. Let's turn again, please, in the Word of God this morning to 1 Kings and to the chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we want to consider the subject this morning of willing to be willing. Willing to be willing. And let's see what the Lord would have to say to us as we come to another of our studies in the life of this man, Elisha. And let's pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. Perhaps we could just stand just to change our position if we can for a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of God's word. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this morning already for Thy presence. Thank Thee for help given to our brother Billy as he's ministered to us in song. And we thank Thee, Lord, again for the grace of God. And Lord, we pray now for grace, Lord, to hear the Word of God. We pray, Lord, for grace to preach the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray for grace then to do the Word of God. Our Father, we pray that You'll come and speak to us. Make this Word a living Word to all of our hearts, we pray. Be with us, Lord, help us just now. Lord, we pray that we might hear the voice of the Lord. In the Savior's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated and thank you. Discerning the will of God for your life and my life must always be a priority in the life of every child of God. Never think that because you may not be called to full-time missionary work or ministry work that somehow that divulges you of any responsibility to seek out God's will for your life. Because you see, no matter who you are or what stage in life you may be at, God has a plan for your life. Whether it be regarding your future employment, or perhaps a business decision, perhaps a family matter, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, it is so important that we discern God's specific will for our lives. And the reality is, folks, that in ways unknown and in ways unexpected, the Lord will suddenly reveal His plans to you, His plans and His purposes for your life. He did so for Elisha. Elisha, as we saw last week, was working in his father's fields. He was plowing the ground when he was called to another field of service. And as we go through this study this morning, and perhaps centering on the thought of the will of God for our lives as we see it in Elisha, there's one factor most especially that I want us to see more than anything else today in what we will consider. This one factor concerning the will of God for your life is that God always makes His will crystal clear. There is no element of doubt. You see, the Lord never leaves His people in doubt concerning His will for our lives. He gives a peace. He gives a contentment when He reveals and when He shows His will to us. Perhaps this morning you're seeking the will of God about a matter. Perhaps, maybe even like Elisha, you don't even realize you're seeking the will of God because Elisha didn't know what God was going to do. Elisha didn't know what God was going to call him to when God came suddenly and unexpectedly and revealed His will to him. God called Elisha into a service, full-time service in that capacity. But never think that is only restricted, the will of God is only restricted to those who go into full-time service. Because the reality is today that we are all full-time workers for the Lord. In our homes, in our offices, in our businesses, wherever we are all full-time workers for the Lord. God called Elisha to do a work for him. And God is likewise calling us all today. Mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister, employee, employer, student, business, whatever.
The Lord is calling you to live your life for Him, but to live it in accordance with His will for your life. And like Elisha, we must be willing to be willing. Willing to do what God wants us to do. So as we come further into the study in Elisha today, I want us to consider how this call of God changed Elisha's life. And that Elisha was willing to be willing. God called him. As we consider the call of God in the life of Elisha and see what we can learn from that, I want us to notice, first of all, there is the analysis of this call. The analysis of the call, because I want to spend a moment analyzing this call that Elisha received. How was it that Elisha was taken from plowing the ground to preaching the gospel? What are the details of the will of God in Elisha's life, and how can they instruct us? How can they teach us concerning the will of God for our lives? The ministry that God calls us to may be different, will be different. Yet here's the thing, that the manner in which God calls us and the manner in which we can discern the will of God is still the same. Let's analyze the call of God, therefore, as we see it in these verses in 1 Kings chapter 19. And as we consider the analysis of this call, I want you to see the source of it. The source of it. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, the will of God always finds its source in God Himself. Now that seems so basic, I know. But so often in the life of the child of God, the will of God is often confused, sometimes deliberately so, with the will of man, with our will, doing what we want to do. Doing our own thing and then covering up and dressing it up as the will of God when it is nothing but the deliberate will of man. That is why it is so important to discern God's will, to discern what God wants for my life, not what I want to do based on my feelings, based on my opinions, based on my notions. It is so vital. So vital that you and I follow God's will. Not our will or the will of another. The source of Elisha's call was the Lord. The author of it, the call for Elisha to leave where he was, came not from Elijah, came not from his father, not from anyone else but the Lord. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him. Now the Lord was using Elijah to speak to Elisha, but it came from God. God spoke to Elisha through Elijah. The will of God for Elisha was of God. Let me say this as much to myself as to anyone else. Woe betide the man or woman who willingly walks in a certain way, goes down a certain path, saying all the time it's the will of God, when it's anything but the will of God. And God isn't even in it. Because that's mocking God. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. The source of this call was of God. Not of Elijah, not of Elisha, not of any other man. It was of God. We need to be sure that what we are doing is what God wants us to do, not what somebody else tells us to do, or not what we think we should do, but what God has said. There's the source of this call, but as we further analyze this call, not only the source of it, but notice the supporting of it. The supporting of this call. You see, the will of God is supported. How? By the Word of God. The Lord said, in verse 15, in other words, God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to His will and His word. The will of God will always be in conformity to the Word of God. And the will of God for Elisha was according to the Word of God, what God had said and the Lord said. Now, Elisha did not have the Word of God in his day, but God had his man, his prophet, and God used his prophet. He used his servant Elijah to communicate his word to Elisha. We don't have prophets today. We don't have apostles today. We don't need prophets today. We don't need apostles today because we have the full Word of God, the full completed revelation of God. And listen, anybody who says anything outside of the will of God is a liar. If it is not according to this book, then it is not of God. We must always test the will of God to be in accordance with the Word of God. One of the great dangers in the work of God is of following man rather than following God. The danger of hanging on and heeding to every word from man rather than what saith the Lord. That is why it is so vital, dear believer, that we have that daily plan of reading, that we search the Word of God every day, that we stick at it, that we keep at it, because whenever we neglect the reading of the Word of God, we'll soon start going down paths that God never planned for us. And we'll soon start doing our own thing and going our own way. Supporting of this call was God's Word. The source of it was God. But notice something more about this call, the surety of it. So God called him. It was in accordance with the Word of God. But God confirmed it. Look at verse 19. The end of verse 19, we find that Elijah's mantle was cast on Elisha. How was Elisha sure that this was the will of God for his life? How was Elisha sure? How did Elisha know in himself that this was what God wanted him to do? It was because Elijah's mantle was put on Elisha. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, you see, for Elisha, this was an unmistakable evidence of the will of God for his life. Elisha was left in no doubt. The mantle was the insignia of the prophetic office, and Elisha knew that. Therefore, when this mantle was put on Elisha, Elisha was sure, this is what God wants me to do. God didn't leave Elisha in the dark. Now, we don't need mantles today. We don't need clothes to signify our Christianity. But the point here is that there was a certainty, there was a surety in the mind of Elisha. He was in no doubt. No doubt. He wasn't in two minds as to whether this was the will of God or not. And can I caution you and counsel you, if you are unsure about taking a certain step or unsure whether to take that step or not, then don't take it until you are sure, until you have peace. Because the will of God does not bring you into confusion. It brings you into certainty. Oh yes, you may not know how it'll all work out, but you have a peace about it. And you know this is what God wants me to do. Elisha was sure this was the will of God. And God gives that same assurance to his people about his will for your life. And he will reveal it to you, not to anybody else. Yes, of course, you take counsel. You take advice from others. But at the end of the day, God will reveal his specific will for your life to you. through his word, not through anybody else. So there is the analysis of this call. It was of God. It was sure. But we see not only the analysis now of this call, but I want to see secondly here there is the abandonment to the call. The abandonment to the call. Look at verse number 20. And he, that is Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah. When Elisha knew that he was in the will of God, he abandoned all to follow the Lord. He left the oxen and he ran after Elijah. Now, in that symbolism, in that symbolic act, Elisha was running after the will of God. You see, at this point in his life, nothing else mattered to Elisha but doing the will of God. He abandoned everything and he ran after doing the work of God. So we think of this abandonment to this call, we notice that it was courageous. He ran after Elijah. And in running after Elijah, he was running after God. It was courageous because it wasn't a popular thing to follow the Lord. It wasn't a popular thing to follow God's man, Elijah. Ahab and Jezebel were still on the scene at this time. Sin was still rampant. It was endemic in society. Yet Elisha was willing to run after God in an evil age. He was willing to be associated with the work of God. He was not ashamed to be a servant of the Lord. Whenever we read there in verse 20, he ran after Elijah. He is saying to this world, I'm following the Lord. We live in an age today in society when it seems that the church wants to apologize for being true to the Word of God and standing by the will of God. The message today is to accept, to fall in with the trend of the world. Don't stand out or don't speak out. But Elisha was courageous. He knew what had happened just some time previous in Carmel. He knew what God had done through Elijah. And he was willing to stand with God and to be associated with God. He was willing to do the will of God. And he was not ashamed of his Lord. We were mentioning this on Tuesday night past in our Bible study course. We need today to be unapologetic for our faith. In a society when the gospel is hated, in a society when it is not popular to speak out against the trends of this age, to defend the standards of the Word of God, we need to be unapologetic for our faith and run after the Lord. To defend the sanctity of marriage, one man, one woman, to defend the family unit, to speak out for the voiceless child in the mother's womb. Because listen, folks, listen. In this past week, once again, we have seen that the most dangerous place in this world, in this province, is in the womb of a mother. The Alliance Party do not care for the unborn child. The Nationalists don't care for them either. And sadly, some Unionists don't care for the unborn child either. Yet the Christian must be unapologetic, whether it's popular or not, whether it's politically expedient or not. We must be unapologetic to stand up and to speak out for the rights of the defenseless little children. And it takes courage. It takes courage today. It takes strength to actually stand up for the fundamentals, the basic points of humanity, to say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and no matter what they might do to their bodies, they'll still remain that way God made them. We need to let this world today see that we belong to the Lord Elisha wasn't ashamed to run after the Lord. And sadly today, there are many in the church who are ashamed to be associated with the Word of God. This was courageous, as he abandoned himself to the call of God. But not only was it courageous, it was also comprehensive. It was comprehensive. Because notice that he gave up everything to do the will of God, to follow after the Lord. He gave up fortune. He gave up his family. Look at verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 19 and the verse 21, he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Elisha, you see, was burning his bridges to his past life. His abandonment to do the will of God was complete. It was comprehensive. He was out and out for the Lord. What he was doing in the past was in the past, but now he was going to live for the Lord. His life was abandoned to do the Lord's will. Is our life abandoned totally to the Lord? What is the most important thing in your life right now? Where do your priorities lie? What matters more to you than anything else? Unless you could honestly say, Jesus all, for Jesus all I am and hope and ever hope to be. He was committed. He was abandoned. And we'll see more of that commitment in the studies ahead in the will of God. But you see, for Elisha, he was saying, no turning back, no turning back. He was going forward. I appeal to you, Christian, be committed. Stay committed. Be committed to the work of God in this house. This is where God has placed you. Then this is where you are to be committed totally to the work of God. In this place, be in your place Sunday morning. Be committed on a Sunday night. Get into the habit of coming twice on the Lord's day. Be committed to the prayer meeting. Young people, young couples, mothers, fathers, be committed to the prayer meeting night. Place a priority on that night. Guard that night and don't let anything else get in the way of it. Be committed for this gospel mission. Do all you can. Be committed. It's only 5 nights. It'll soon be over. Be committed. Invite people in. Come yourself. Elisha was totally committed to the work of God. This abandonment, it was comprehensive. It was courageous. But we see as well it was clear. Verse 21 again. When he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, what did he do? And gave on to the people. Gave on to the people. What Elisha was doing there in verse 21 was making a clear declaration to all those around him, I'm following the Lord now. It was clear to everyone else, those in his community, those of his neighbors, those he worked with, he wanted them all to know he was following the Lord. Is it clear to all around us that we belong to the Lord? Is it clear to those we work with? Is it clear to those that we live beside that we belong to the Lord, that we're following the Lord, that there's something different? It will be clear whenever we are totally abandoned to the will of God for our lives. The abandonment of this call and the analysis of the call. But finally, as we close this morning, I want us to see the activity in this call. The activity in this call. Now, of course, this will take up the most of our studies from here on in, as we consider all the things that Elisha went on to do. But some things just as we finish this morning. What was God calling him to do? Not specifically, but in what way was he calling him to do it? Notice, first of all, that this activity was unassuming. Look at the very end of verse 21. The very end of verse 21, then, he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Ministered unto Elijah. Elisha, first and foremost, was to be a humble servant. Unassuming. The word ministered there, it has reference to the priesthood, the idea of serving. It basically means to be an attender, or to wait upon, or to be a worshiper. All those things involve menial tasks. You see, Elisha was called to the most humble and lowliest of things in the service of God, just ministering unto Elijah for this time. Many people want to be in the forefront. Many people want the spotlight. People want the limelight. But that's not how it starts in the work of God. We must be humble servants of Christ, serving Him, attending to Him. One of the greatest ways that we can serve Him is by being a humble servant, worshiper of Him in His house. Elisha was humble in his service for the Lord. He served humbly. And dear Christian, today, God did not call us to be a sensation. Rather, He called us to be a servant, doing whatever that is necessary, being in the background, staying in the background, unless the Lord calls us forward. This activity, it was unassuming, but this activity was unchanging. And with this we finish. Verse 16. What was Elisha to do? At the end of the verse we read, Shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Elisha was called to continue on in the work of God. Not to change, not to do things differently, not to bring a different message, not to seek to alter what Elijah preached. No, Elisha's ministry was to be a continuing of Elijah's ministry. Now, of course, there were differences in their personalities. There were differences in their approaches. The Lord doesn't call us to be carbon copies of each other. We have different abilities, different gifts, different strengths, but we all must labor together for that one aim, that one purpose, and that's the work of God and the cause of Christ. Elijah was called to be a prophet, to declare the word of God. And Elisha was called to do the same thing. We're not called to be innovators in the work of God. That's the biggest temptation in the world, you know. To change the message and to change the methods. No, we're called to continue on declaring the Word of God, to continue on preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, to preach the Word, to be instant in season and out of season. And to this end, God help us all to be Elishas. The mandate of the church is still the same in 2022. What is it? It's to preach Christ. To preach Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Christ is the center of our message. Christ is the hope of this world. Nothing else and no one else will transform lives or homes or communities, towns or cities, but Christ. Belfast needs to hear of Christ in 2022, just as it needed to hear it all those years ago. We go to Dundonald in a week's time to speak of Christ. We need to continue on in that work. Elisha was called to an unchanging work, to preach forth and to declare forth the Word of God, because this world still needs to hear from God today. Fritz Kreisler was a famous violinist from Austria. He earned a fortune with his concerts and his compositions, but he gave most of his money away. One day while on tour, he discovered a beautiful violin. But the problem was he wasn't able to buy it because he had given all of his money away. A little later on, he had raised enough money to meet the asking price, and he returned to the seller and hoping to purchase it, but to his great dismay, it had been sold to another collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home, and he offered to buy the violin. The collector said, "No, this has become my prized possession, and I don't want to sell it. All I want to do is just to keep it on display, and I don't want to play it anymore." Kreisler was really disappointed. Having raised enough money to buy the violin, he really thought he could get it. But before he left that day, he asked the man a question. He says, "Can I play that violin just one more time before it is consigned to silence for the rest of its time? Just one more time, let me play that violin before it's never played again." The man says, "Okay, I'll let you play it just one more time." And as that great violinist, Fritz Kreisler, lifted the violin and started to play, such music filled the room that day that the man who owned the violin was moved and stirred in his heart. And the man turned to Fritz Kreisler and he says, "I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it to the world and let the people hear of its beauty." Dear Christian, today in 2021, we're still to take Christ to the world to let them hear and see of the beauty of our Savior. We're not to hide our lights. We're not to be secret disciples. We're to let others see that Christ reigns within us, that He's a Savior worth serving. Because Christ is still the answer. And the message that our forefathers preached is still the message that we need to preach today. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Elisha was willing to be willing. Willing to be used of God. Willing to follow God. Willing to live his life in the center of God's will. Dear Christian, this morning, are you and I willing to be willing? Willing to let God have His way in our life? Willing to do something more for Him? The greatest thing that we can do is to give our lives totally in abandonment and surrender to Him and go and tell others about Him. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.